hard for walking, and my Gladstones kept banging hell out of my legs. I sort of enjoyed the air and all, though. The only trouble was, the cold made my nose hurt, and right under my upper lip, where old Strad later laid one on me. He'd smacked my lip right on my teeth, and it was pretty sore. My ears were nice and warm, though. That hat I bought had earlaps in it, and I put them on. I didn't give a damn how I looked. Nobody was around, anyway. Everybody was in the sack. I was quite lucky when I got to the station, because I only had to wait about 10 minutes for a train. While I waited, I got some snow in my hand and washed my face with it. I still had quite a bit of blood on. Usually I like riding on trains, especially at night, with the lights on and the windows so black, and one of those guys coming up the aisle selling coffee and sandwiches and magazines. I usually buy a ham sandwich and about 4 magazines. If I'm on a train at night, I can usually even read one of those dumb stories in a magazine without puking. You know, one of those stories with a lot of phony lean-jawed guys named David in it, and a lot of phony girls named Linda or Marcia that are always lighting all the goddamn David's pipes for them. I can even read one of those lousy stories on a train at night, usually, but this time it was different. I just didn't feel like it. I just sort of sat and not did anything. All I did was take off my hunting hat and put it in my pocket. All of a sudden, this lady got on at Trenton and sat down next to me. Practically the whole car was empty, because it was pretty late and all, but she sat down next to me instead of an empty seat, because she had this big bag with her and I was sitting in the front seat. She stuck the bag right out in the middle of the aisle where the conductor and everybody could trip over it. She had these orchids on, like she'd just been to a big party or something. She was around 40 or 45, I guess, but she was very good-looking. Women kill me. They really do. I don't mean I'm oversexed or anything like that, although I am quite sexy. I just like them, I mean. They're always leaving their goddamn bags out in the middle of the aisle. Anyway, we were sitting there, and all of a sudden she said to me, "Excuse me, but isn't that a Pensy Prep sticker?" She was looking up at my suitcases, up on the rack. "Yes, it is," I said. She was right. I did have a goddamn Pensy sticker on one of my Gladstones. Very corny, I'll admit. "Oh, do you go to Pensy?" she said. She had a nice voice. A nice telephone voice, mostly. She should have carried a goddamn telephone around with her. "Yes, I do," I said. "Oh, how lovely! Perhaps you know my son, then, Ernest Morrow? He goes to Pensy." "Yes, I do. He's in my class." Her son was doubtless the biggest bastard that ever went to Pensy in the whole crummy history of the school. He was always going down the corridor, after he'd had a shower, snapping his soggy old wet towel at people's asses. That's exactly the kind of guy he was. "Oh, how nice," the lady said, but not corny. She was just nice and all. "I must tell Ernest we met," she said. "May I ask your name, dear?" "Rudolf Schmidt," I told her. I didn't feel like giving her my whole life history. Rudolf Schmidt was the name of the janitor of our dorm. "Do you like Pensy?" she asked me. "Pensy? It's not too bad. It's not paradise or anything, but it's as good as most schools. Some of the faculty are pretty conscientious. Ernest just adores it." "I know he does," I said. Then I started shooting the old crap around a little bit. "He adapts himself very well to things. He really does. I mean, he really knows how to adapt himself." "Do you think so?" she asked me. She sounded interested as hell. "Ernest? Sure," I said. Then I watched her take off her gloves. Boy, was she lousy with rocks. "I just broke a nail getting out of a cab," she said. She looked up at me and sort of smiled. She had a terrifically nice smile. She really did. Most people have hardly any smile at all, or a lousy one. "Ernest's father and I sometimes worry about him," she said. "We sometimes feel he's not a terribly good mixer." "How do you mean?" "Well, he's a very sensitive boy. He's really never been a terribly good mixer with other boys. Perhaps he takes things a little more seriously than he should at his age." Sensitive? That killed me. That guy Mara was about as sensitive as a goddamn toilet seat. I gave her a good look. She didn't look like any dope to me. She looked like she might have a pretty damn good idea what a bastard she was the mother of. But you can't always tell. Somebody's mother, I mean. Mothers are all slightly insane. The thing is, though, I liked old Morrow's mother. She was all right. "Would you care for a cigarette?" I asked her. She looked all around. "I don't believe this is a smoker, Rudolph," she said. Rudolph, that killed me. "That's all right. We can smoke till they start screaming at us," I said. She took a cigarette off me, and I gave her a light. She looked nice, smoking. She inhaled it all, but she didn't wolf the smoke down the way most women around her age do. She had a lot of charm. She had quite a lot of sex appeal, too, if you really want to know. She was looking at me sort of funny. "I may be wrong, but I believe your nose is bleeding, dear," she said all of a sudden. I nodded and took out my handkerchief. "I got hit with a snowball," I said. "One of those very icy ones." I probably would have told her what really happened, but it would have taken too long. I liked her, though. I was beginning to feel sort of sorry I told her my name was Rudolph Schmidt. "Old Ernie," I said, "he's one of the most popular boys at Pensy. Did you know that?" "No, I didn't." I nodded. "It really took everybody quite a long time to get to know him. He's a funny guy, a strange guy in lots of ways. You know what I mean? Like when I..."